this morning is from Luke chapter 2, perhaps the most often used scripture for Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued the decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, a man on whom his favor rests." Thanks be to God for his words. Merry Christmas. It is a happy day because we do celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. I don't know about you, but celebrating Christmas for me always has a little bit of discomfort. Have you ever been to a birthday party? You know, everyone's having fun, there's lots of people, and then you notice that the person who has the birthday isn't there. You know, there's a lot of party going on, a lot of fun. A lot of excitement. And sometimes I think Christmas can be like that. In our excitement, no one noticed that Jesus was missing. There are other reasons why I find a little bit of discomfort. Most important of all, I think, is the vital relationship between Christmas and Easter. You know, the true joy of Christmas is found in the good news of Easter, right? Because we don't simply celebrate a birth. Because we recognize that Jesus came, that this baby was born to die for my sins and for all our sins. But the good news is because of the death and resurrection of this baby that we can have such a joyful day like Christmas. Not only today, but every day into eternity. And that is the good news. But the connection between Easter and Christmas still gives us a sense of tension. It's not a simple joy. And I think that's why it is so appropriate for people to sing Handel's Messiah. Because it makes very clear this relationship. It captures the connection between Christmas and Easter. We celebrate not just the birthday. We celebrate a new life. Changing of the world. One that was fallen to one that is redeemed. It is a glorious day because Jesus has come to save, to redeem, now and forever. Merry Christmas. There is another source of discomfort And I think you agree that even as we read the stories, it's not the kind of story I would have written, you know? When we talk about the birth of our Savior, I mean, we don't want these kind of strange stories of childbirth out of wedlock, having no room for him, for the baby to be born in a small town, in a barn, to be laid out in a manger. Yet this is the story we are given. We have Joseph and Mary traveling to Bethlehem, to the city of David. It was probably more of a town, really, than a city. And there is no room. There is no room for them to give birth in a proper place. So they have to find a shelter, whatever shelter they can, and it is a place where animals shelter. And the baby is wrapped in cloth. Not fancy blankets, not cashmere or silk, but common cloth. Some people even have suggested that it may have been strips of cloth, much like a burial cloth. And all of these images that we have of Christmas are unnerving. Because our celebration, the celebration we really want for Christmas, is neat and clean. We want everything to be sparkly and bright. We really want that holly jolly Christmas. We don't want detention. But in many ways, I think the tension helps us to focus on Jesus Christ. Because maybe if we didn't have this tension, it would be so easy to sing Jingle Bell and to enjoy the jolly Christmas where there is no room for Jesus. It is, I think, perhaps this tension that calls us to Jesus and does not let us just sit at the table and fill ourselves with turkey and gravy. I also think about how unprepared I am for Christmas every year, isn't it? Doesn't Christmas just come up? And one day was Remembrance Day, and then next thing you're looking for wrapping paper because you got to wrap those presents. But this sense of unpreparedness is also in our story. There seemed to be a complete lack of preparation in the time of Herod and Quirinius. In particular, I am kind of amazed at Mary and Joseph. Didn't the angel come and talk to them? Didn't the angel tell them exactly what's going to happen and who this baby really was? And is this the best that they can do? Just find a shelter somewhere quickly. They had no blankets around. Yet year after year, Christmas comes, December 25th. We know exactly when it's coming. Yet year after year, I find myself scrambling because I wasn't ready. And perhaps we know what Mary and Joseph may have felt as we scramble for our Christmas. Because when we ask ourselves, are we prepared? Are we ourselves prepared to celebrate Christmas with Jesus? Or will Jesus be missing in your Christmas celebration? In our story, there is that one moment of awesome presence of God. It is when the angel comes and makes an announcement to the shepherds, and then a heavenly host appears to sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests. Have you ever wondered why only to the shepherds? You have this one glorious moment of God's glory shining in the earth, and it is to a group of shepherds. It's not to the kings. It's not to the UN. It's not to the President of the United States. It's to the shepherds. Isn't there a better way of telling this news? Could God not have sent this message to the more important people? More important people like the kings. Like, well, not quite Herod, maybe. Because we know about Herod and the high priest. And perhaps this is a point to illustrate something I always have found. You know, when I read the Bible and come to a point, I go, why did God do this? Would it not be better to do it this way? I think it would be better to do it this way. So we have God's way, and we have my way. And one of us has to be wrong, right? And it's not going to be God. Although, I think I'm right all the time. And I think the point about wouldn't it have been better to say to someone else, like who? The king Herod? No, clearly not. Because Matthew reminds us that Herod and the high priest, when they heard the news, they were ready to kill. They were not glad. So whenever we come to these moments of, shouldn't God have done this? It's good to take a deep breath and to go back and to really look at what God has done. The angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." The phrase, "this will be a sign to you," is a very common prophetic speech. It is almost always used whenever God wants to tell the people, "I am going to do this. This thing that's going to happen, I am going to do it. No one else is going to take credit for it. I will do this. So let me tell you, this is the sign. So when it happens, you will know that I have done this." And this sign actually goes back to Isaiah 7:14. In Isaiah 7:14, it reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel, God with us." If you turn to Isaiah, the interesting bit actually is a little bit earlier, because this sign comes out of a conversation between God and King Ahaz. God asked Ahaz, "You decide what kind of sign you want." And Ahaz says, I don't want any sign. I don't want to cause any trouble. I don't want any sign, God." And God says, "Then I will give you this sign." And it is God's promise to us. But it also speaks about the unpreparedness of Ahaz. In the conversation, God makes the point, "Ahaz, you don't want to ask me a sign because you don't want to commit." And in our situation, it may be like that for us too, right? Often we don't want to commit. We don't want to commit to God. We don't want to have too tight a relationship. We don't want to be accountable to God. yet God works with us. We did not know we needed Jesus, but God knew. In the message, there are three titles for Jesus. He is Savior, the Christ, the Lord. Ever since the fallen man in Genesis chapter 3, we were in desperate need of a Savior. Maybe we didn't know, but we did. There were many attempts by men and by God to return to paradise. When Adam and Eve sinned and they were kicked out of the garden, God did not destroy them. Rather, God worked with them and helped them to have a new life. And they had a long life. But as they grew old, we can't say they grew wise. Rather, their children learned to do evil, competing and killing one another. Later, it seemed that God worked closely with certain key individuals. Remember people like Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. But they were not holy as God was holy. And often they went on their own ways and wandered away from God. Maybe if God just simply told everyone how to be saved, maybe if just God gave us a set of rules to follow so that we could be better, and God gave us his laws, one set of laws for everyone, and that all who would follow it would be deemed righteous before God. But we know that the law has only shown us how unrighteous we are, how far we have wandered away from God's holiness. The laws illustrate the difference between God's holiness and our unrighteousness. Perhaps what we needed was a leader to rally the people, a leader like Moses or Samson or David. They all tried. They tried very hard. They struggled with the people, but it would seem they struggled more with their own needs than to help us, than for them to help others to follow God. And so through thousands and hundreds of years, we dug ourselves into a deeper hole. There were many attempts to climb out, but we were only bruised and broken. We were lost and without hope. We needed more than words or an example to follow. We needed a Savior. Savior that was different from all the other people. Not someone full of sin and personal struggles, but one that is full of God's righteousness, with God's holiness and his glory ever present. We needed someone special, anointed of God, like David, but better than David. We needed God himself. This God already knew, but I think we were much slower to realize. It took us the attempts, the years, to recognize that it's not our choosing that would save us, but it would be God's ways that would rescue us. And on this Christmas day, God's own chosen, the anointed, the Christ, came to save us. God had promised us through the prophet and has fulfilled it. And we now have hope of salvation. The good news of salvation was given to us through the generations. And we remember the promise that the Lord gave in Isaiah 60:16. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One. We received a Savior, an anointed of God, the Christ, the Lord God Himself in Jesus Christ. For He is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our King. And so we could declare on Christmas, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the angels sang praise to God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. But perhaps the issue of shepherds hasn't resolved itself. Why the shepherds? Shepherds are an image, is a symbol that is throughout the Bible, old and new. And it is more than Psalm 23. Did you know that many of the key figures in the Bible are shepherds? It is said Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. Abel was a shepherd. Abraham had a great flock of sheep. He was a shepherd. Remember how Jacob was blessed? It was while he tended Laban's sheep. He was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd for 40 years before he became a different kind of shepherd to lead the people out of Egypt. And we all know David was a shepherd before becoming king. In John 10:14, Jesus tells us that He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep while the hired hand runs away. What is the Messiah like? What is God's salvation like? In Isaiah 40, verse 10, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and His arm rules for Him. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the image of the Savior, the Christ the Lord. Are we still surprised that the shepherds were chosen to hear the good news? Perhaps one more point about the shepherd. Who was watching? Who was watching for the Christ's coming? Who was ready to receive the good news? A shepherd must always be alert. The wolves and the lions do not come at the convenience of a shepherd. They must always be ready. They must be watchmen. The shepherds, while we're afraid, were prepared. While Herod and all of Jerusalem were surprised. It is not a surprise that the shepherds should be the first to hear the good news, that they should be the first to see the Savior, and that they should even be the first evangelists. Because Luke tells us that as they left after worshiping the Christ, they shared their witness of Him wherever they went. As Christians, by definition, we say we are like Christ. that we are his disciples. Jesus asked of his disciples, or told of the disciples in Luke 21:34, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Be always on the watch. That is, be prepared. Be like the shepherd who are always ready. But if my Christmas experience this year is anything to go by, I know I am not ready. That I am not being a faithful disciple of Christ. Many people miss the first coming of Jesus because they did not notice. It's not because there weren't sufficient warnings or signs, because people came from afar. The Magi came from the east, while people in Jerusalem, perhaps 10 miles away from Bethlehem, missed it completely. We celebrate Christmas every year, but how often do we miss celebrating it with Jesus? I don't just want to talk about the struggle of Christmas. We should know what we celebrate. We should know the joy of Christmas, the glory of God in the highest, the peace that God has given. We should have the reaction like the heavenly host. Every Christmas we should be praising God, saying glory to God. To share peace, the glory of God, and to share the peace. And these two points, I think, we should always have in our Christmas celebration. The glory of God, in Hebrew, is kabod, kabod, which has the meaning of heaviness, a weightiness, of importance. The glory of God can shine, but it's not just flash. It's not just glitter. Rather, it speaks more of the importance, the significance of God. The glory is a heaviness that overwhelms. It is something that cannot be avoided once you're in it. Once you're in the presence of God, his glory just weighs you down and captures you. Compare that to the Christmas we typically have. Compare the weightiness of the glory of God, the light and the glitter, to the jolliness. Compare our Christmas to the density of the glory of God. The glory of God compared to the lightness of the world. World that is filled with leaven. World that is bloated. So as we celebrate Christmas, let us consider three points. First, does the glory of God give weight to our celebration? Or are we just going to do bright lights and tinsel? Second point, Jesus called us to be shepherds, to keep a watch. To keep a watch and not to be swept away by things of this world. To pay attention to God. And finally, in our footsteps in Christ, as we become shepherd as he is a shepherd. We need to remember the work of the shepherd. The work of the shepherd is to feed his sheep. We need to have the glory of God in our celebration. We need to keep our watch and be focused upon God. And finally, we need to feed his sheep. And so how would my Christmas be different this year? Perhaps this Christmas, I will share the Word of God with my children. Perhaps this Christmas, I will sing God's praises with my children and not just Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Perhaps this year we'll not go merrily for Jingle Bell sleigh rides, but perhaps we may be weighed down by God's glory. And perhaps this year we'll have Jesus in our celebration, in our hearts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men, on whom his favor rests. Merry Christmas.